Thanks to the guys on the card show and all for mentioning the travel guys and listening in. Thank you so much. All righty, today on the travel guys.
In the travel news, if you're a fan of off the beaten track places, we'll tell you how you can attend a special Route 66 Centennial Show at the California Automobile Museum. And life has definitely changed forever at Southwest Airlines.
Our efforts to help make you a smarter traveler continues at 11:25 as we share some tips on how not to forget anything on your next trip.
At 11:35, I'll take you with me on a journey to Miami, the Florida Keys, and Key West. Really great destinations I visited this past week, and I've got tips on where to stay, what to do, and even help you find a good restaurant or two.
At 11:50, we move over to the entertainment part of our show as we speak with Henry Cho, who's performing in Sacramento on February 21st.
Henry Cho, the man who makes clean comedy really funny. Thanks for coming along with us today on the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And what else can I say? We're a few minutes late, and we want to thank again the card guys for letting folks know that we would be starting late, and we will run a little late, too. So we'll get our extra 4 minutes at the end of the hour. And look, my friends, we haven't had a chance to do this since we've been broadcasting here on Sactown Sports 1140. But from time to time, we delve into something that is Mark started some years ago called One Man's Opinion. So Mark and I were talking before the show about some stuff that's pretty serious, and Mark had a one man's opinion that he wants to share with you. Mark, first of all, how you doing? Good to see you. Welcome back from Florida.
Thank you. Thank you. Had a good trip. I wanted to just touch on something here at the beginning of the program. What's going on in Minnesota and other places around the country is really is really bothering me. I'm a traveler. I strongly believe that the way we get to know each other and the way the planet survives is that we see each other, we talk to each other, we go to other people's houses and to their cities and to their countries, and we learn how they do things, and sometimes that's different than how we do things, and sometimes we bring those things home back with us and make our lives a little better, or those new friends come and visit us, and that makes life a little better. And what's going on now all over the country? We have the World Cup and the Olympics coming up here in the next couple of years. And we're sending a horrible message to the rest of the planet. Would you want to come visit us? I mean, this is a travel program. It's not a political show. But some of the things that are happening politically are really having a serious impact on travel. And those are going to impact people's opportunities to go learn about each other. They're going to impact people's ability to make a living, people who are connected with destinations and things who depend on visitors. People from Canada they have no interest in coming here. It's not like they forgot everything that happened. They're not planning on coming here anytime soon. So it bothers me. All is not well in the world of travel when things like this are happening. And I it's hard for me to understand why some of this is happening, and the impact it has on travel is great. And that's just one man's opinion.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, and at the top of every travel show besides One Man's Opinion, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And once again, with a travel news update, here's Mark.
Hey, if you don't have a real ID, the fun is truly over. Starting this week, You will have to pay $45 in order to get through security. And instead of just answering a few questions and zipping on through, they're trying to make this a little bit more difficult on purpose so that you will get off your butt and go get the real ID. So if you don't, before you could go to the airport and work your way through the system. Now that is no longer possible. So they have a system, TSA does, and you're going to pay $45. So maybe it's time, if you travel more than once a year, maybe it's time to go get that, pay the $45 and get the real ID, you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you were whining about having to pay for bag fees. Now, the real ID fee, do you think they're going to just ask you for your card right there at check-in?
You've got to show some sort of ID, and if you're not compliant, then it's going to show up right on the screen immediately. So it's not going to be something, technology is not your friend here if you don't have a real ID. So if you don't have one, the good news is you can still travel. The bad news is it's going to cost you a few extra bucks, and you better allow a little extra time. And if you happen to hit security at a busy time, and something happens and you get delayed a whole lot and you don't miss your flight, you heard it here first. So just if you don't have a real ID, really and truly allow yourself a little bit of extra time at the airport. We talked a little bit about overhead bin etiquette and the lack of overhead bin space on planes. I finally saw something, Tom, that we've talked about on here for a long time. In Atlanta the other night, coming home on Delta Airlines, whom I don't fly very often, no particular reason. I've just hung my hat at United. Our company has done a lot of United for a lot of years, and you stay with the guy with who brought you because, you know, that's where your status and all that stuff is. So we're flying home from Key West, and we fly up to Atlanta on Delta, and then, of course, we catch the Atlanta flight back to Sacramento. Getting on the plane in Atlanta, mm-hmm. there was not only somebody who was, you know, you were showing them your phone or your boarding pass, and they were letting you on the plane, but there was an additional man there who was looking at your carry-ons.
Uh-huh.
A dedicated agent who, and the way they were doing the line was you couldn't move up to get on the plane until, you know, it was stop here. Okay, now the next person go up here and show your boarding pass, and now you're on the plane. Well, when you stopped, the guy was eyeballing everything. And to two or three people, he said, in front of me, he said, I'm sorry, but you have more carry-on luggage than you're allowed. Well, I've carried this bag for 35 years, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. And the guy just very politely said to the gentleman, he said, I'm very sorry, sir, but your bag is not going to fit in the overhead in a standard fashion, and you can't take it. You're going to have to check it. You can't take it on the airplane. And the guy looked at him, and because he was so calm and measured, he didn't fight back after the initial thing. Another lady had, good God, she had everything but the kitchen sink. And thank goodness it wasn't one of my travelers. And she just had, I mean, she had 63 carry-ons, you know. And you know how they say, please consolidate them. And so the gentleman said, ma'am, I just need you to step aside. I think you can get all of this stuff. It's all, you're going to be able to take it all on the plane, but you need to get it down to two. Well, he just pressed the issue. If they would just do this, the last people getting on the plane would have room for their overheads and life would be good. So kudos to Delta Airlines for at least on one day on one plane.
Wow.
They stood up. If that's going to be their policy in Atlanta, as staffing permits, I just think it's a great idea. If you would do this for a while and get people I understand you don't want to pay to check your bag. You got a short connection. You've got to run when you get to your destination or whatever it is. But it's getting worse. The overhead situation is getting worse, and more people are not having room for their carry-ons. And so there you go. Hey, I want to tell you about a show about Route 66 that is coming to town. I'm a huge Route 66 fan. We're going to do a show on the old highway here in a couple of weeks. And the man who is the videographer for the centennial of the old highway, Route 66 turns 100 this year. Official anniversary is later on in the year. He's coming to Sacramento. His name is John Pageant, a really interesting character. He's been taking pictures of 66 and other off the beaten track, small towns, unique places in our country for years and years and years. He's coming to Sacramento, and on February the 24th, which is a Tuesday, he's going to make several presentations at the California Automobile Museum, and I will have the privilege of working with him. And John is going to share some of his photos and some of his stories about the old highway. And I'm the wrong person to promote this because I love that old road and the people that are along it. There are so many stories. There's a century now of American history. And look, the way we get around in this country is by automobile. So at least on the ground. And so John is coming Tuesday, February the 24th. KVIE is sponsoring it. And they have a couple of programs that are related to their listeners. So if you're a KVIE person, you can support the station and come. Sports Leisure Vacations has a special dedicated show at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you would like to come, tickets are free. This is February the 24th, 1 p.m., Route 66 show at the California Automobile Museum on Front Street. You get tickets by calling our office. So you'll have to make a note and do this old school way on Monday morning. You'll have to give us a call, 361-2051, or go to travelguysradio.com. There's a link there that will have all this information that I'm talking about. So if you would like to come to the Route 66 show at the California Automobile Museum, it would be our pleasure. And it is, if you come to our program, it's free. Limited number of tickets are available. So if you're a fan of old highways, give us a call on Monday, and we will try our best to get you in. It's three Las Vegas casinos. This is kind of interesting. Talking about travelers perhaps being hesitant to come to the U.S. Canadian travelers are big business here. They love Las Vegas, and they're not coming to Las Vegas. So three Las Vegas downtown casinos, not strip casinos, but downtown casinos, Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate, say they will treat Canadian dollars as U.S. dollars across select gaming, hotel, and beverage offerings now through August 31st. So not everything, but Canadian dollars are worth a third less than U.S. dollars. So even if you're a bad gambler, this is a good deal. So I looked all around to try to see. It's some table games. It's some things in the hotel. It's not everything. So, but if it's worth looking, if you know, have a friend from Canada who says, hey, you know, I'm not coming back for a gambler, this might be something that's too good to pass up if you're having Las Vegas withdrawals for our Canadian friends. Let's see here. What else have we got? National park signs related to Native Americans and climate change are being removed from Grand Canyon, Glacier, Big Bend, Zion. This, I guess, relates a little bit to my opinion at the beginning of the program. We're changing history. Took a long time to get those boards to reflect what really happened. Now we're going back and taking them down. Store them someplace. We're going to put them back up. When all of this fracas is over, we're going to be real people again. We're going to put those signs back up so that people will actually know what happened. What the history is of these United States. This is our 250th birthday. Shame for taking down signs in national parks that reflect what has happened here in these United States just because somebody thinks the history is a little bit inconvenient. All right, Southwest Airlines this past week, things really changed and changed forever. No more Jesus flights. No more hobbling on and taking the best seat on the plane and walking off. It's a miracle. Now everybody has an assigned seat on Southwest, just like on all the other aircraft. If you didn't pay anything extra, you're going to be in the back. Your seat isn't going to get assigned till the last minute. You might get lucky and get that coveted aisle seat, but you might not. You might get the middle seat in front of the bathroom. That's what Southwest is hoping you'll think, and you'll pay up for a preferred seat or an extra legroom seat or something like that. You can't get a first-class seat at Southwest. They're already charging you for luggage. They're already making more money. Their stock price is going up. That was the whole plan. So if you enjoyed the way things were on Southwest Airlines before, I am so sorry, but they are not going to be that way ever again. I haven't flown on a Southwest plane yet to see how that's all working. But I will in a couple of weeks, and I'll report back. In the meantime, if you flew Southwest last week, go to travelguysradio.com and drop me a little note. And perhaps we'll talk about your experience. Leave me your email address. Maybe we'll talk about it on the air next week. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget, as Mark mentioned, we have a travelguysradio.com, our website, and there you can get lots and lots of great information to make you a smarter traveler. And, of course, information in regards to that Route 66 show at the California Automobile Museum. All right, let's see. What do we got coming up? Efforts to help make you a smarter traveler continue as we talk about how to not forget stuff when you're on a trip. That's next, here with the Travel Guys. Hey there, my friends. Why not make it a Rudy's weekend? Head on over to Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House over there off of Highway 50 in Hazel. Enjoy yourself a mighty fine meal and tell them the Travel Guys sent you. You know, they still have that Travel Guys special over there for $29.95. Get yourself a 6-ounce lobster tail with some of the fixins, something that you can enjoy. You can't beat it. They've got something for everybody on their menu. And, Valentine's Day is just around the corner, but guess what?
What?
Sold out, baby.
Really?
And sold out.
I guess that doesn't surprise me. Rudy's is so popular, and it has such a loyal audience. I bet you there are people who have been going there on Valentine's Day for years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only are they extra busy on Valentine's Day, and a lot of us do this. If we can't get a special place on Valentine's, then we'll jump a day ahead or a day after.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want a reservation for one of those days, you probably better jump on that right away, too. Yeah, Rudy's has the best clam chowder this side of, best clam chowder anywhere. And not to mention the fact that if you like little add-ons that go with your meal, their baked potatoes are the best. And if you've ever had their scampi, you'll never have scampi anyplace else. Rudy's Hideaway, always there, always waiting for you to come in and share a fine meal with you and your family. Once again, off of Highway 50 and Hazel, Rudy's Hideaway. Okay, Mark, let's talk about leaving stuff behind. What's the last thing you remember leaving behind in a hotel room?
On, what day is this? Saturday? So on Thursday, I left. I have this little thing that I put my body wash in. It's hard to find little. Now I'm going to have to go to like the dollar store and buy some more, because I'm forever putting that in the shower and then leaving it. And, you know, the little shampoo, you carry your own shampoo and your own. Yeah. Mm-hmm, and I left chargers behind in October, about $40 worth of chargers in a hotel room. I am a walking catastrophe when it comes to leaving things behind in the hotel room. Sometimes when Tyler's traveling with me and we happen to be sharing, if we're sharing a room, it's like, okay, did you try to remember before you go out the door? We tell people at the airport, always when you walk up to the end of the aisle, take a picture of you're in 27C, you know, so that now 8 days from now, when you come back, mm-hmm. especially if you travel a lot, did I park up close or was I further away this time? So you can find where your automobile is. Great tip for the airport. You need to find your car, but if you lose your ticket, it takes your license plate on the way in and your license plate on the way out. If you don't have a ticket to stick in the machine, doesn't matter. It tells you how much you owe them. So for those of us who have a tendency to lose our tickets, the airport has us covered, but not, I'm sorry, for the things that you leave in hotel rooms along the way. So our good friend Chris Elliott penned a thing on a website, Travelers United, which is another one of our favorite spots here from the Travel Guys, that talked about some of the things. Besides doing a sweep around the hotel room, that's a pretty common thing. I might suggest to you, if there are two of you staying in the hotel room, that you both do a sweep. I've left a lot of things behind in hotel rooms when I do a sweep because I'm not really, I don't really live there, and I'm just kind of quickly scanning the room, and sure enough, didn't even think to go into the bathroom. pull the shower curtain back, you know, something like that. So here's a great idea. Make a short checklist on your phone of the types of things that normally get left. Now, younger people tend to forget things like chargers and socks and underwear and stuff like that. Older people tend to forget eyeglasses, medication. This can be really important. You're on a long trip. You're in the middle of it. You left your meds in the previous hotel room. Ouch. Personal emergency. So I like the idea of putting a short checklist on your phone of the types of things. And then if you get in that habit, and that's what this is all about, habit. When you travel, you forget things because you're not in the habit of doing this or that or whatever. You're in a different environment.
One of the things I would suggest you do is create a habit, if you will, of when you are at a hotel room, putting things in kind of the same place that you each time. That way you can go back and look in that location. In other words, this particular place on the bathroom counter is where I put my bag, and in your case, your body wash or wherever, yeah. And alongside the bed, make sure that if you're going to charge your phone, you want to make sure to charge it if you can. For those hotels that have them available, charge it next to the bed. But have a routine.
Yes, that is the best way to not forget something. Another suggestion along the lines of, you know, we talked about taking a picture of the sign, so that you know what floor of the garage that you're parked on, or whatever, you know, what row in the outside lot. You can do the same with your hotel room. Take a picture of the door. So if you're one of those people who I've only done this a couple of times, and I suppose if it starts happening more frequently, it'll be a sign of something of greater concern. But, you know, you get off the elevator and you start to walk down the, and it's like, was it 542 or 524?
Yes.
You know, or yes, was it 544 or 455? And so the idea of taking a picture of your hotel room door, especially if you're considering going out for the evening, shall we say, and imbibing a little bit, might not be a bad idea to make sure that you know where you're going back to. Because it's not, experts say, it's not part of your routine. And so that's why you tend to leave things behind. But anyway, the idea of making a little bit of a checklist for things that are really critical for you, and before you stepped out of the hotel door, you would say, okay, I looked at this list. Yeah, my meds are here. The other old thing is, take one of your shoes and put it at the end of the day with your valuables in the hotel safe. Now, I might suggest you that most hotel safes are not going to be big enough for a shoe. But the theory behind that is, Tom, is that the next day you won't forget your valuables because you can't possibly walk out of your hotel room with only one shoe.
Unless you brought two pair of shoes.
Exactly. So I guess that would apply if you have something that you always leave behind, like your charger, put one shoe right next to it, and then it's the possibility of you leaving is much decreased.
Anthony, I hope if you're listening to this, it's our producer back at the radio station. Anthony, is there anything that you've forgotten in a hotel room?
Yeah, I've definitely forgotten a couple things. As a kid, I was notorious for like forgetting like shoes. If I brought multiple shoes, I would like end up leaving shoes. I remember that being a big issue when I was a kid. And now I just leave random things like a charger, things like that. I'm really bad at final walkthroughs.
Somewhere there must be a place with 7,787,000 chargers. You know?
Yes. Well, you know, a lot of times if you get to a hotel and you don't have a charger, you forgot it at home. If you go down to the front desk with your phone and you say, look, man, I forgot my charger back in Sacramento. Do you have one I could borrow for a few days? They'll reach under the counter and pull one out and hand it to you.
Okay. I have a related program. I have a related quickly for that. On this last trip, forgot my razor and shaving cream at home. So at the first Hampton Inn, they were kind enough to give me a little portable, you know, a throwaway razor and a couple of envelopes of shaving cream. And the next day I bled all over people because it was really bad. I should have walked down to CVS and spent $5. But yes, sometimes the hotel front desk can help you out on those things.
All right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. We'll take a short time out and we'll be back with more. We're going to go to Key West. And Mark has just returned, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about that's going to make you a smarter traveler, going to make you want to go there. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
We'll take just a minute here and do a second reminder for this Route 66 show that's coming up, sponsored by KVIE and the California Automobile Museum and Sports Leisure Vacations. We have trips on Route 66 to celebrate the centennial scheduled the eastern side from Chicago to Oklahoma City in April and May of this year. Limited space available. We're only taking 30 people in each group. I've got 8 seats in April and 3 in May. And then in the fall, we will do in October, we'll take folks from Oklahoma City to Santa Monica on the western side of the old highway. That trip is announced, just one departure, and there are about 10 seats left. So if you'd like to go on Route 66 and discover the old highway, the main street of America, Sports Leisure Vacations can take care of you. If you are interested in traveling the highway, or you're just a historian, you love old roads, Channel 6 and the California Automobile Museum are sponsoring a special show. Guest is John Pageant, the official videographer for the Route 66 Centennial. He will be there telling stories and sharing pictures on February the 24th. It's a ticketed event. You have to have tickets. Call the Sports Leisure office. The tickets are free. They are very limited in number. So if you would like to attend and learn a little bit more about the old highway, maybe you'll decide to take a trip on Route 66 with us or by yourself or with someone you love sometime in this centennial year in 2026.
For us simple-minded folks, Mark, you know, I hear you talk about the old highway and traveling the old. All I can think about is, gosh, if that is, how old is that highway and how bumpy is it?
This is the beauty of 66. It was replaced by 5 interstates. So, I mean, literally, it took 5 interstates to copy the route of Route 66 all the way across the country. Much of the old highway, I'd say 40% of it, is near or along the interstate. So in some cases, you can choose to drive the old road technically, or you can just travel beside it and get there a little bit faster. But in many cases, Route 66 goes through the little towns. You know, instead of the interstate, you had to get off now and you have to drive half a mile into town. And if you don't get off, the only thing you're going to see is the big service station and the truck stop out by the interstate. So 66 went through the towns. And so all of the stories about the people and the places and what they do and how they do it and all that stuff, you don't get that if you're traveling down the interstate, perhaps. I see people on their phones today and they're trying to figure out, you know, where are those special places? You know, I don't want to just drive down the interstate. Where are those special places? Well, Route 66 is 2,200 miles of those kinds of places. And the beauty of it is it starts in Chicago and ends in Santa Monica. So it passes through all sorts of different demographic regions. You know, the people in Illinois and Missouri, it goes through the Bible Belt in Missouri. And the people there are very different from the people in the Texas Panhandle than are in Arizona, than are in California. So it really is. I mean, you don't get New England in the South, but other than that, you get. Yeah, I know. I'm going off down.
I'm giving Mark the timeout sign. Well, see, if any time I mention one question about Route 66, 5 minutes later, the only reason is because, and we could go the rest of the hour, but bottom line is we've got a lot to talk about in regards to your journey to Miami and the Florida Keys and Key West.
We do. And you've all got right, special guest coming up too at the end of the
hour. Yes, Henry Cho, very, very funny man. Yeah. Look him up online, and you'll want to go see him. It's at Channel 24, which is a entertainment venue downtown on February 21st. Interview's coming up after this segment.
All right, so this last week, I took a bunch of Sports Leisure travelers on a trip. People ask me all the time, I've been doing this for most of my life, and people say, you know, what's your favorite destination? And I'm not a huge international traveler, so I'm not going to tell you, oh, you know, I love being in Paris or China or things like that. Most of my destinations are here in this country. And I realized this past week that definitely my favorite place is Key West. It's an end of the road destination, and it's magical because of the eclecticness of the people who go there. First of all, end of the road destinations are always different. People travel there who can't travel any further. Nobody wants them, so I'll go here and get away as far away from people as I can. And to some people, that's a remote village in the mountains, but to some people, that's the end of the road. And Key West is literally the end of the road. I mean, you keep going, you're in the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean, depending on which way you turn. So there's all the old Jimmy Buffett guys, you know, all the margarita, all the old, you know, fishermen, you know, guys, all just end of the road guys. and there's a huge LGBT community there. And you've got all of these people from all over the world who come there. And you have a lot of people from New England who come there to party, and people from Florida who come to party on the weekends. And during the week, you have all these people who come to, and there's all kinds of history. Anyway, we flew into Miami. And so if you're making this journey, we had the advantage. One way is a little easier when you're traveling with a group. So you might have to do this a little differently. You might rent a car and round trip the Keys, but we had the ability to do it one way. We flew into Miami, spent the night, Brazilian steakhouse for dinner, Texas Day Brazil. It's a chain around the country, but it's really the one in Miami at the Dolphin Mall is a really high quality restaurant, and we've been going there for years. So if you like all different kinds of meat and you're willing to pay a few dollars for it, why then I'd like Texas Day Brazil as a brand, and the whole Brazilian steakhouse idea where you sit at your table and they bring different cuts of meat and you can tell them what you want. Next day, we did a city tour of Miami, which is one of the most fascinating cities in the country. And again, because it's a melting pot. Miami is just, if you took things and people from all over the planet and you put them in a mixing bowl together and you turn it on for 30 seconds and then you turn it off, you'd have Miami. Because that's really what Miami is all about. There's a huge Latin influence there, Central America, South America. But people come from overseas and, of course, from all over our country. It's really a fascinating, interesting place for a guided tour. And that's what we did. We have a wonderful step-on guide there who took us all around Coral Gables. And all of there are some beautiful architecture there. Then we did something I recommend for everybody. This is very touristy. If you're from the East Coast, you would probably say, oh, been there, done that. But most people from the West Coast have never met an alligator up close and personal. So go out into the Everglades and get into one of the boats, one of the jet boats out there, and go out with a driver and meet a guide and meet an alligator or two up close and personal. They don't eat humans, unless you just really piss them off. But they're vegetarians. So crocodiles, on the other hand, don't mess with, but alligators are not so much into humans. And out there in the Everglades, they're just kind of moseying around most of the time. And you can go out in a jet boat and you can see them. And this is, like I said, it's a very touristy thing to do. But if you're from the West Coast and you never met an alligator up close and personal, this is your chance for about $50. And usually most of the places in the Everglades have a little alligator show or something after you take the trip. But really, the bulk of it is the alligator trip itself. Then we took off down. We spent the second night in Key Largo, sort of a legendary destination. Great place to visit. Lots and lots and lots of great restaurants in the Keys. Lots of them. And they all look like places that you would never want to go into. Oh, my, that doesn't look like a good restaurant. But it's just, it looks like an old place that's been there forever. And they're all wonderful. We go to a place called the Fish House in Key Largo. And all I can tell you is they don't take reservations. They accommodate our group, somehow smush us in and take care of us because we've been going for a long time. But they don't take reservations. So go early or go late or be prepared to wait. The Fish House, great place in Key Largo to eat. We stayed at the Hampton Inn, which I'm not crazy about Hampton Inns, but the one in Key Largo is a little bit modern. And psst, it's on the water. So if you stay at the Hampton Inn in Key Largo and there's a decent sunset, aha, you get to see it for free. You pay a little more for your hotel room probably, but not from your room necessarily, but they have a nice bar and a little beach, and you can go out and watch the sunset. And the fish house is a quarter mile across the highway there, Highway 1, that goes all the way down to Key West. So anyway, that's something that I suggest. Next day, we went into Marathon. There is a wonderful thing called the Dolphin Experience, where this is, if you're old enough to remember this, Tom, Flipper, remember Flipper?
Yes. Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Flipper the Dolphin, this is where Flipper came from.
Okay.
And a number of Flipper's relatives are still bouncing around at the Dolphin Experience in Marathon. So I really recommend that. There's another place called the Turtle Hospital. The people there are not quite as nice. The dolphin thing is really a great experience. And no matter what's happening, you're going to get to see dolphins. It's not maybe you'll see them, maybe you won't. So that's kind of cool. The Dolphin Experience in Marathon, great thing to do on the way down. When you get to Key West, we stayed. There are lots and lots and lots of places to stay. You can stay on the water, which is expensive. You can stay in one of the little old tiny hotels in town, which is expensive and cool, but it's not on the water. We choose to stay at a place called La Concha, which is a Marriott hotel. It's right in the center of Old Town Key West. And the beauty of that is that Key West is a very walkable town. If you're capable of walking a half, three quarters of a mile in each direction, you can park the car in the parking lot in Key West and at the hotel parking lot. You might not need it the whole time that you're there. I mean, really and truly. There are so many walkable destinations, and there's so much history in Key West. Harry Truman went down there when he was president, so there's a little White House in Key West that you can tour. And if you're willing to pay an extra few bucks, you can even take a ride in Harry's old presidential limousine, little short ride around town there that they will, but you can tour the little White House. Ernest Hemingway's home was there. He lived many years, the famous six-toed cats. You can tour Hemingway's place. The John Audubon's house is in Key West. There are all kinds of cruises, dinner cruises, afternoon cruises, get drunk cruises. There are islands, the Dry Tortugas you can make a day trip out to them and back. There are other little islands that you could go for lunch. The sunset in Key West is legendary. You can go down to Mallory Square in Key West. And if you go to Key West, here's the deal. Don't just allow one night. The weather in Key West is a little unpredictable. It can be kind of windy. And for people from the California side of the country, you definitely want to make sure that you go off season, now, because once you get to about mid-February, early March, the humidity starts to grow in Key West, and people in California don't do humidity well. A couple of other things in Key West that you should do. There's a butterfly conservatory there, which is legitimate. It's not a commercial place. It's where they raise butterflies and sell them to other butterfly places around the country. So it's a really legitimate place. It's really, really, really well done. There's a restaurant called La Tida. They also have a small hotel there. There's a drag show there at night. Randy Roberts has been doing for a long time. Randy is a great entertainer. It's a very small showroom. It's a great show. You would really enjoy it. The food at La Tida is outstanding. So La Tida, you've got to remember that if you're going to Key West, at least for dinner and maybe for the show. There are old town trolleys that will take you around town and give you a city tour. I'm leaving out some things here, but there is so much history. Go during the week. This is where Florida goes on the weekend to party, and it's much more expensive. So go during the week, skip the partiers, and if you want to party a little bit, you can, but you won't have people dancing in the streets and drunk all over the place and stuff like that. So great place, Key West and the Florida Keys. We really had a good time, had a wonderful group of people to travel with, and Tyler Gerald's to help me with the folks getting around and stuff like that. We had a really great time. If you're lucky in Key West, you might get to meet a trolley driver named Louie. If you get on Louie's trolley, you will have one of the best little short sightseeing experiences of your whole life. And if you meet Louie in Key West, tell him that Mark from the Travel Guy says hi.
Wow, that was great. I've been getting texts all over the place, Mark, from people I know saying, "Hey, that's that thing that Mark just said. We got to do that. We got to do this. We got to do that." Anyway, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, I forgot one. Wait a minute, I forgot one place. Sloppy Joe's, famous old restaurant, in downtown Key West. So make sure we always go to Sloppy Joe's. Make sure you go to Sloppy Joe's. Great place to drink and eat, and just a few blocks down from La Concha.
And I'm guessing you get a sloppy Joe there.
They do. They do serve sloppy Joe's.
All right, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and when we come back, spend a little bit of time with comedian Henry Cho right here with the Travel Guys.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. As you know, we have that entertainment portion right there in the middle of our name. That's because a lot of times when you travel, entertainment is part of it. Our special guest today is Henry Cho. Henry is coming to Sacramento to appear at a place called Channel 24. It's relatively new, downtown Sacramento. Nice entertainment venue. Henry, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I've done Sacramento before. I was at the Crest Theater a couple of years ago, and Channel 24 is a new venue. So Outback Presents, my tour reps, they're excited about this new venue. So I'm excited to check it out. It's supposed to be beautiful, and looking forward to a good time. Another great show. Another packed house in Sacramento. Looking forward to it.
Henry, I want to congratulate you on you're being voted into the Grand Ole Opry at 229th member in the category of comedians. You know, a lot of folks have no idea that the Grand Ole Opry kind of steps out of the country box a little bit. How many times did you perform there?
Before I became a member, I was a guest performer over 110, 120 times. And yeah, I'm the first comedian they inducted in over 50 years. So February will be 3 years since I became a member. It was a shock to me, as it was, I'm sure, a lot of people. Comedy's always been part of the Opry. And, you know, dressing room number six is the kind of the comedy room. There's Minnie Pearl and Buck Owens and all the Hee Haw gang. And my picture's in there with them, and it's just kind of, you know, Mike Snyder's in there. It's surreal. I still, every time I go there, it's such an iconic institution, and it's one of the greatest honors I never even dreamt about being a part of.
You have a long list of credits, Henry, for your appearances on all of the late night TV shows and many, many other places, and including some writing credits as well. Where did you grow up, Henry?
Oh, I was born and raised in Knoxville, Tennessee. I've been living in Nashville off and on for about 35, 38 years. My oldest and youngest kids were born in Nashville. My middle kid was born in Southern California. Yeah, you know, this is my 40th year doing stand-up. And, you know, back in the 90s, I used to do the Punchline in Sacramento all the time, part of that whole tour. Because doing the Bay Area, big staple of mine back in the day. I'm a big golfer, love playing golf there. So I've always gone to Northern California and looking forward to coming back.
Henry Cho, our guest here on the Travel Guys, coming to the Channel 24. I know when I first got ready to look this up, I go, we don't have a Channel 24 on the air here anywhere in town. And lo and behold, it's not a TV station. It's a venue. Henry, you're on what's called the Empty Nest Tour. Tell folks what they can expect.
Well, it's clean comedy. I've always been clean for 40 years. It's adult humor, but it's clean. And my buddy Jim Hope will be on tour with me in California. We're doing 2 weeks, so we're all over the West Coast. Jim Hope, former stand-up. We've known each other 35 years, 38 years. He's a former writer. He still, you know, he wrote for George Lopez show and Disney show, Titus. He has written screenplays, and he's still one of the best stand-ups around. So he and I sold shows to CBS together, and back in the day, the TV show didn't go on, but he and I are working on another one. And the Empty Nest Tour, I'm finally getting a tour like I did 20 years ago. It's been great, and I can't wait.
Henry, you know, here again, we're talking about your show coming to town and comedy and such. But since we're also travel, and obviously you travel a lot, can you give our listeners a couple of travel tips in regards to how you handle all the travel, the packing and the airports and so forth? You got three travel tips you'd like to share?
Yeah. If you're not pre-check, don't be in the pre-check line.
Okay.
That's my greatest tip. That is my greatest tip. There's nothing crazier than waiting in line behind people and then they get turned away. And it's a drag because then you got to go get in the other line. Let me put it this way. I'm a 2.5 million miler on American, 1 million on Delta, and 1 million on everything else.
Wow. I'm not surprised.
Traveling used to be a luxury or a privilege, flying, and it's not anymore. And people treat it like it's not anymore. I mean, you know, I don't want to see anybody's feet, especially a guy's on the plane.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
All right, so don't wear flip-flops and don't take your shoes off. Now, you know, if you're a woman and you got a great pedicure, go for it. But I don't want to see a guy's feet on the plane.
Well, you got a lot of company there. We did a little piece not too long ago, and we had all of the different things that annoy people, and people taking their shoes off and putting their feet up against the bulkhead, you know, and then, of course, there's the man spread. I'm sure you probably have done a bit about the man spread.
Yeah, the man spread's got to go. People just have to realize that you're not in your living room in your boxers watching TV. You're in public. And I don't want to hear your phone conversations before we take off either.
Tell me a little bit more about the Empty Nest Tour. What is the content of your of the subject matter?
The subject matter, well, you know, it's just my comedy's clean. I talk about everything from oh my goodness, everything you can think about. I mean, it's observational, it's personal stuff. It is, I tell a lot of stories. You know, my show, I try to compare it to like, you know, you had a dinner party and you invited me over and something funny happened on the way there. And so I walk in and I tell you that story and it happens to be funny and that triggers you to tell me a story and then that triggers me to tell another story. So I just tell stories and when we're done, it's just a good time. You can be 8 to 80. It doesn't matter. It's clean comedy. I mean, it's adult humor. So I think I hope I'm more cerebral than a third grader, but maybe I'm not. But yeah, anybody can come and hear it. They're not going to get every joke, and I hope they don't. I hope it's more clever than that. But, you know, that's the whole thing. It's open to everybody. And theaters are a great way to do it because there's no age restriction at theaters for the most part, as opposed to comedy clubs. And also, the great thing about it is, you know, believe it or not, I can make 1,500, 2,000 seat theaters feel very intimate. And it's the way I've always done my shows.
It sounds like it's going to be a great evening, Henry. I look forward to it. Welcome to Sacramento coming up on February the 21st. Thanks for taking a little bit of time to spend with the travel guys here. Once again, Henry Cho, and congratulations again on your induction into the Hall of Fame, the Grand Ole Opry Hall of Fame. You stay well, and we'll see you on the 21st, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Henry. That sounds like a pretty good night. He really does clean comedy and does it well. He's been around for a while.
He's a very funny man, nice guy. You know, I was surprised when he told me, when I asked him about travel, he went 2 million miles on what?
Yeah.
American or whatever.
Yeah, another million. Yeah, well, that's, and just to give you an idea, I'm a travel guy, been a travel guy for a long time. I've got about 2 million lifetime miles. So if he has 3 million, that tells you that that man has been traveling a lot. Hey, listen, I wanted to just talk about things that are coming up the next couple of weeks on the Travel Guys. We've been talking to Rob on the road from KVIE Channel 6, who's done his travel show there forever and ever. Rob is a great interview, a gazillion stories. I hope he will join us next week. We're also going to get with the airport people, new restaurants in Terminal A. Out at the airport, I noticed two new ones that opened up. You know, all of the scaffolding inside the terminal has come down, and we've got some new places to eat out there. The parking garage is just about done. The walkway to Terminal B. So we'll get with them and get an update on all of that stuff, too, in the next couple weeks.
All right, my friends, that's a wrap for today. You stay well. We'll see you next time.
Remember, dance like nobody's watching. Next Saturday at 11 o'clock. See you then.